Okay, so tonight, continuing on a series we're doing on Zen Living, Idiot's Guide to Zen Living that I wrote a number of years ago. It's not in print anymore, but you can still get a digital copy. And we're focusing tonight, we're starting the chapter on dealing with challenges Zen style. And we won't, we're just dealing with the first. I figured the 2 out of 5 of the challenges would be enough to fuel our conversation. Let's see. So this chapter covers busyness, worry, which we will talk about tonight, afflictive emotions. So those are like kind of negative or unhelpful or painful emotions that they tend to be a problem, right? They tend, when you feel them, you kind of wish you didn't, and they kind of are, they preoccupy us and often aren't helpful. And then betrayal, and then being misunderstood or criticized. So tonight, focusing on busyness and worry. And I figure, keeping it simple, and how would we practice with these different challenges? I mean, everybody faces these kinds of challenges, and then they try to deal with it, right? There's many ways that they might try to deal with it. They might try to change their life, change their relationship, get some self-help books, go to therapy, whatever. There's many things that people might do to try to improve their situation. But particularly, like, what does it mean to engage these kinds of challenges as practice, to practice with them, to turn them into practice? So I don't know if people will be able to memorize this or not, but I figured 3 steps. So you recognize you're facing one of these challenges. And the first step, no matter what is happening, remind yourself you have choice in the matter. So a lot of times when we're in the middle of these things, we tend to be kind of, I don't know, it's weird. You can say we're externally focused on like all the stuff we have to do or all the difficult things that are making us feel a certain way or whatever. But sometimes it's almost like we can turn that inside, but we're almost relating to whatever is happening inside almost in the same way. Like we're kind of separate from it. We wish this emotion wouldn't happen. We wish this behavior didn't happen. We're kind of struggling within. So we won't be kind of struggling without or struggling within. But we're saying, no matter what is happening, inside or outside, remind yourself you have choice in the matter. You have choices you can make which can decrease suffering. That doesn't mean it's easy. That doesn't mean it's straightforward. It doesn't mean you necessarily know what to do, but that's the whole premise of our practice. And step 2 is to see clearly. Really see clearly what is going on. And 3 is to let go of attachment to that which is causing suffering. So our choices may have to do with our behavior, but at the very least, they have to do with our attitude. So sometimes there's something we can do differently, speak differently, make different choices in our life. But sometimes things just are the way they are, and we always have this option to just shift our mind or our heart, the way that we're thinking about it, the way that we're relating to it, the way we're approaching it. And seeing clearly, so our zazen, our mindfulness, I mean, so many aspects of our practice, self-study, dharma study, precepts, all of these things are trying to help us see more clearly. Be less, you know, caught up in our narratives, less reactive, you know, somewhat more objective, able to really just see what is going on. And then letting go, no amount of wisdom or insight, so let's say we really, you know, we really do look very carefully at a situation and we see what's going on, and maybe we see that this thing or that thing is perpetuating suffering, but we don't want to stop doing it. So if we're really going to practice with it, we actually have to work with letting go of whatever attachments or letting go of whatever it is that's causing suffering. So I wanted to break briefly into small groups tonight to discuss busyness and worry, just to give ourselves, I want the conversation to be really grounded in what is alive for people. How does this actually manifest for you? And each group is only going to be, you either discuss busyness or you discuss worry. So in like the Zoom breakout groups, you will be assigned, and I'll just assign the groups that end up in here. So busyness, I don't really know that I have to define that, but just in case you're wondering, like, well, what do I mean by busyness? I mean, there's so much going on, so many demands, responsibilities, activities. You start to feel stressed, lose equanimity, feel resentful, etc. I mean, this one, it's a big one, a big one for me. I like to fill up my life and like to do all kinds of things, and I like all the things that I do, and yet, inevitably there are times when, like, you know, no matter how well I plan it, so today, right, things have been okay, you know, leading up to this session, but then today when I had to, you know, clean my house and do the final grocery shopping and, you know, pack for myself and come out, all the details of like, how is this going to work tomorrow? You know, it was a lot, right? So I was definitely caught up in that sense of busyness where I can easily start to feel stressed or, you know, lose my equanimity. So busyness and then worry, you know, our mind getting stuck on thoughts about the future. And sometimes this is with very good reason, right? There really is something going on in our life, health or financial things or other people, relationships, whatever. There's often a reason for our worry. But we all recognize, right, there's a time to be trying to deal with that and problem solve. And we all recognize it can go too far over to the side of, like, our minds are just perseverating on this topic and imagining things, and we're not actually helping. We're not actually solving any problems. We're just exhausting ourselves with the worry. Our physical and mental health can suffer. Our thinking isn't very clear. So in your groups, if you can, whatever your topic it is, just, you know, just generally discuss it, but how does this problem manifest? What makes it worse? Does anything help? I'd be lovely if when we come back, which I hope then when we come back into the large group, we just have a lot of ammunition for, you can ask me questions, you can share something, that's worked for you. I know this is one of those great examples where sometimes you hear something from another Sangha member and it's, you know, more useful than anything you hear from me, the teacher, tonight, right? It's like, oh yeah, that's true, you know? So there's many different ways to practice with this stuff. So does anything help? Do you have any questions for me? Or these can arise after the large group is back together as well. So we will just do 10 minutes, and Mick will invite you to rooms, and then see you in a few.
Yep. And everybody in your breakout rooms, the name of your breakout room is the title of your group. So some of you will be in a group named Busyness, and others will be in a group named Worry.
All right, welcome back.
It kind of becomes existential, doesn't it?
We don't necessarily have to just, I don't know, it'd be nice to hear something from each group. If you're willing to speak up and say something or ask a question, start the conversation, please. Please do. I mean, I can start by saying I was in a worry group, right? And we were trying to figure out what do we really mean by worry.
You were worried about that.
We were worried about that, right? You know, because there's planning and there's risk management and there's, you know, there's ways you can fruit. Like I'm thinking a lot about Sashin, you know, so it's going through my mind a lot. So I throw out one possibility as kind of almost the kind of the boundary where it goes maybe from just, you know, fruitful dealing with life to maybe what we might call worry is like, does it keep you up at night? Or maybe does it interfere with your zazen, right? I don't know.
Or can you take action?
Or
is it act like, are you thinking about something that you can take action and change now?
Right, so Renato said, if you know, you might ask whether you're thinking about something you can take action on right now. And if you're not, then it's kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the two defining characteristics of worrying are like, is it something I can effectively do anything about, like right now? And is it something that I can kind of put down? And, you know, worrying checks no for both of those boxes. And I don't know. Like, I can't tell. So it's hard to kind of like point at something and say, I'm better at that now. I don't know if I worry less. But I do know that I have some like just some kind of like ways to pull myself out for just a moment or two, and kind of I think it's even in the book is it's like I'm not noticing what I'm worrying about. I'm noticing about or I'm just noticing the worrying and not the thing that I'm worrying about, and that generally kind of helps.
Yeah, Kyogen used to say, like, when you're, this includes with afflictive emotions, which I don't know, like, is somewhat related, that as soon as we become aware that we are feeling or doing or thinking this thing, we are not completely absorbed in it. Become aware of it, we're not necessarily completely free, it doesn't necessarily go away, but we're not completely at one with it. Brian.
Hi. Yeah, we had worry, and we were talking a little bit about it in with regard to attachment to the worry, that you know, when you start to attach to it, that's when it becomes bothersome and it takes longer, like a short, something just going through your mind's fine, short term. That's just, is it imaginary? Is it real? First question, is it even real? And then is it, and how much time you spend on it? If it only, I think I heard before, if it's like 10 seconds or so, then the thought should evaporate or something like that. But if you just drag it on to 10 minutes, then maybe you're just going into it too long. But at the same time, that's the more the imaginary type. But what about the real worry? What about health? Like, is my memory going? Am I having a heart attack? Some of it's healthy, and you have to go see a doctor. So it's just like it's so broad. But I think sometimes it's I'm not saying it's good to worry, but I think we also concluded that even though we have these worries, which are real worries, real life worries, we don't it doesn't bother as much now as it maybe did years or before. Before it would bother us a lot more. Now we've got other things to do. It's not as important. And we don't, I think because we don't attach to it as much or try to make more of it than we should.
Yeah, that reminds me of what I tell people sometimes when they hope that, seeing as I've meditated for over 25 years, that I've gotten better at it and I don't have a lot of thoughts in my meditation anymore. And when I think about it and reflect on it, I'm like, I don't know that there's fewer thoughts, but I'm sure less bothered by them. John.
Just want to give a shout out to all my buds in the cloud.
John's getting dirty tonight.
I'll say one thing that's bigger about being or different about being here is everything's bigger. I mean, obviously, everybody here like looks really small, so they look normal to me now. And y'all, I mean, I have a small screen at home. Y'all are a lot bigger, even. So now I'm going to be more self-conscious when I'm talking online because they can. I mean, seriously, it's like a movie screen.
You know what? When you talk, we blow you up real big on the TV too.
Yes. I just kind of had another thought after we had our conversation, which is one of the things that I would classify more as worry for me are the things that I can't control. What I need to do, if I'm busy or planning or anything, risk, I don't really think of that much as worry, but I think a lot about it. But worry is the things that I really can't control. And I think, I know I always have a choice, but I forget I have a choice sometimes. I think I spend most of my time on clarity, thinking about problems from different standpoints. And I mean, at some point, I let things go. And one of the things I haven't figured out is like, okay, if I didn't think about what I'm going to do, worrying, planning, whatever, what would I do with my mind? Seriously. I mean, I think I probably let things go when I get to the point where, all right, I'm not going to understand it any better. And it's time. I guess the one time that I know what I would do is like when I worry at night and I can't get to sleep, but I don't know how to let it go in the middle of the night. So that's one of the things I need to figure out how to do. But anyway, hi, everybody.
Yeah, it's a fascinating, I think, certain people have more issues with this, with worry than others, but I think much more importantly that all of us are going to face times where this is a challenge. Like we're going to sooner or later face times when, the shit has hit the fan and one way or another, and we really do have some big looming things that we're like, what's gonna happen? And then, our practice will really be beneficial, right? All the practice that we've done in the meantime to be able to just, notice this is going on. Even just that awareness, right? Just like, oh wow. I notice I rarely ever have insomnia, thank goodness. But occasionally, and very rare occasion, usually it has something to do with an argument with somebody, and I feel like they've misunderstood, or they're, it's injustice, or I don't know, like, and I mull over this relationship and this, oh no, they're mad at me, whatever, and I'll just be, and just like a weird kind of fantasy or delusion, like somehow I'm gonna fix it which obviously, when it involves another person, like you were saying, like John was saying, it's never going to happen the way you anticipate anyway. So no matter how well you plan, you can't like plan this interaction with somebody. So I've like just even just like sat up in bed and sat zazen for a few minutes just to be like, dude, like, look where you are. Get out of your craziness, right? Just be right here. So, how about busyness? Any thoughts, observations on busyness? Eric.
Yeah, we had a great discussion in our breakout room, and one of the things we kind of connected it to was that busyness, a lot of times we use it as another distraction to think that we're doing better than worrying, so we stay busy and keep busy. But then Ruth Ann was talking about how that it still keeps us from the moment. Mm-hmm. And then Cassie made some really good points about focusing on the practice and allowing us to have those moments where we just kind of get through. And Adam was really good at tying it together at the end by saying kind of what you said earlier about how we need to be aware of the busyness. And even if that's all we can do, it's a step in the right direction. And so that's kind of was our kind of chain of connection of busyness and how it serves as another form of attachment for our minds. And we think because we're not worrying or because we're doing something that we're being productive when oftentimes we're not.
Thank you. Andrew.
So the group that I was in was not, our group was worry, but since we're talking about busyness, I just had this random thought that just came into my head that I wanted to ask you, Domio. So this whole idea of busyness and it being a problem, isn't that kind of the idea behind work practice in Zen monasteries and in Sesshin and stuff, is learning a productive way to be busy? Isn't that kind of what work practice is? Is learning how to be busy in a meditative way?
Good point. It makes me think of how, so in the context of retreats, whether it's a one-day retreat or a longer retreat, we often have a silent work practice period, and you just get assigned something. You clean the bathrooms, you vacuum the floor, you help cook the food, you pull weeds, something like that. And I noticed that it was great practice for me. Have been somebody who was very, very busy, and as I'm doing something, I'm thinking about a better way to do it, and it's wonderful context. And so people have done retreats from home, and they assign themselves work practice, but it's deliberately not like it's a simple task, right? It's not multitasking. It's not planning, it's just doing some simple task. And even just doing it in the context of retreat at home, the attitude is different. The attitude is more just like, and I love how it's a time-limited thing, right? You're going to do this task for an hour and a half. And I always like to think too, when we're in session or retreat, this is all optional. We're all just coming together to do this thing. It's like it's technically completely unnecessary. Like nothing, in a sense, nothing is riding on this. So
because I've always seen
just
kind of,
do it.
Right,
you know?
I've kind of seen this way of being busy without your mind, you know, spinning off in a thousand different directions.
Learning how to take that kind of stillness and spaciousness into activity.
In busyness, correct.
Yeah. So I would say that's activity without this sense of busyness. Okay. Because for my, I guess for me, the busyness often has to do with always looking ahead to this thing being done or the next thing that needs to happen. As opposed to right in the, if you're in a retreat, right, you're like, the whole point is to be mindful while you're working, right? To just notice the weeds and, you know, feel your hands and follow your breath and whatever. Not, you know, get this waiting done so then you can go on to this other thing. Jen, do
it's just short, but like, have you ever cleaned someone else's kitchen? You know, it's like, it's just like that, because it's just that you're like, oh, I'm just going to make the kitchen clean, and you don't think about any other stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just had that thought.
I have somebody come help me clean every other week because I hate cleaning my house. I feel like I shouldn't have to do it. But the ironic thing is, I have cleaned house for other people. I have done that as a job. And it's a perfectly fine job, you know? It's just like, all right, here I am. You know, it's kind of been fun if it's a little dirty, it's a little challenge, you know? It's actually just a pleasant task when it's what? What is the difference there, you know? Not.
Domino.
You can come. Yeah.
I think we give words power with our the culture feeds the concept of worry. I don't like that word. I'm concerned about climate injustice. I don't worry about it. Because as one person, 24/7, I can only do this amount. And I think worry just rides on the back of fear in our culture. So if I'm worried about a particular interaction with a person, then that's on me to kind of examine my own rhetoric around it. But I don't want to buy into, if I say to somebody, don't worry, and they look at me like, how can you say that? I said, well, if they're sick, ask them if you can do something for them. No, don't worry. And I just think sometimes worry can be a ticket not to do anything constructive, no matter how minuscule it might be. Thank you.
That's a really good point.
Thank you. That's a good... Well, people in here are agreeing it's a good point. Renat.
Yeah, so I had a period of about 2 years of consistent worry about someone very close to me. Until a year ago, I do feel that I did a lot, actually. But it just like was impossible for me to stop thinking about their situation and how, and if they will get out of this situation, mm-hmm. and how they will get out of this situation, and if, you know, and how can I help them? Consistent a worry, but as you know, as it progresses, I figure that this is not sustainable. Like, you cannot live your life this way. I think I was successful to worry less as thing went better. I don't know that may, you know, I don't know if I could do all the practices that I did to worry less if I didn't see improvement. But then I think eventually I was able to practice that. And now I'm very minded. And when there are things that are out of my control, and you know, I'm not thinking about them, and I guess what Ruth is saying, right? Like I'm thinking, okay, what can I do? If I can do something, I'm doing something. If I can offer a help, I'm offering help. But I don't keep my mind busy thinking about something that is not productive. But when it comes to work now, I find myself keeping myself busy with picking up on assignments, and I think it relates to what Eric said. I think it was Eric. Keeping myself busy with assignments, so I won't have, I think like subconsciously, so I don't need to, you know, my mind won't be busy maybe with other stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm noticing that, and I'm like, I don't know how to get out of like maybe this new pattern that used to, you know, I used to do it before, but I'm coming back to that. Yeah, so I think it is related, and I don't know how to, yeah, not keep my mind doing something, either worry or being busy, I guess. It's a challenge.
Yeah. Thank you. So how many folks out there struggle with busyness in the sense of you find yourself regularly feeling like you just have too much to do and therefore getting stressed or irritable or resentful or whatever? Do you want to say something, Vic? Or you just say, yep.
I mean, yes. And I think like the biggest kind of like weapon for me in terms of that is I always like use that residual stress that comes from the busyness to like justify my own like negative reactions to things, right? Like, you know, I'm right to be upset about that. You know, like that's just, you know. And so I think I do. I feel like I am like, I feel I am at my karmic worst when I feel like the universe should owe me something. You know, like that's always when I'm the worst, is when I feel like, you know what, this is not right. And I use my like afflictive emotions for sure to fuel that.
Did you want to say anything? Tyler.
Yeah, I guess I don't like being busy. But I find myself that way a lot. And I think that my partner and I, we have the same, we don't want to glorify busy. We feel like in our culture, like being busy is really glorified, and we don't want to like engage in that. But then like, you know, as soon as I find myself in a moment where I've got things down, I put my things down and I'm doing it, I'm enjoying some downtime, I'm like, oh, there was that course I wanted to take, and I could take that, I could fit a course, and like I can't, like I seem to be unable to stop myself from like re-diving into something new, you know. And they're all choices I'm making, but I seem to have a hard time not finding myself being busy despite a great joy of not being busy. It's a tough, yeah, it's just really interesting.
I know that when I, one of the reasons it's so important for me to go to session, these, you know, extended residential retreats, is that when, you know, after, I don't know, sometimes it's immediately, I don't know, it's just, it's such a different context, and I put everything down, you know, all my usual activities down for a period of time. I feel like a hamster that has just gotten off a wheel. That, and I mean, I ended up looking at my life activities, and I know that they're good and I like them. I mean, but it's like a bigger perspective on them. And ordinarily, when I'm doing them, it's kind of just like, I'll get there, I'll get there, I'll get there, I'll get there, I'll get there. And it's like, and where? Where is that I'm gonna get? I'm not gonna get anywhere. Like, this is, I wanna be awake for now, even if I have a million things going on, right? Somehow it's the busyness is the kind of taking you out of this moment. That is the sad part about it, I guess.
And if, Dubomio, just because you were just reminded me, when we're in session, even when I first read that, like, don't bring any books, like, don't bring non-dharma, you know, because I was like, well, why can't I sit and relax and read? But then it's like, oh, no, that's just one more thing I'm doing when I'm not in. And so I abided by that, despite all my other reasons I'm not wanting to. And it was, yeah, at session, it was weird, that feeling like, oh, yeah, I can put that aside too and just be here and not have other things going on. So, yeah.
Okay, two things. Talk about business, then worry. For the last, I don't know, many, many years at work, I was a leader instead of a worker. And even though I did a lot of stuff, since I had a team of people, my job was to manage their level of business. But I could only manage their level of business at work, and they had other stuff. So I guess I managed their business, but I also was like a counselor or mentor or whatever. So I was constantly trying to get them in the right attitude to handle busyness and stress at certain periods of time. And I think that translated to my own. So when I was busy, I really didn't worry about it because I had all my advice to them in my head. So, I mean, I pretty much thrived on it. The thing about busyness is, to me, the stress is the things that you're not going to get done for you because you're busy all the time. And I just kept putting those off to retirement or whatever. So now, anyway, then on worry, the one thing I don't think we've mentioned too much, when it's out of our control and stuff like that, I guess I think I kind of use something like goodwill. In other words, what is my intention for the universe? What is my intention that should happen? You know, prayer, whatever you want to call it. And I think that that's a tool that helps me let things go, is to just put my attention for what I would like to have happen, or just in general, something, you know. So I think that's something for goodwill, is to just put that out there and maybe as a way to let go. So.
Natalie.
So I think for busyness, for me these days, when I find myself doing that, it's definitely a distraction because I've been dealing with a lot of very intense grief. And so I have found in moments I'm saying busy, 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 for a while I'm not feeling those really difficult feelings, but then inevitably they will come up because they need to. So what I have found, and it might be in a very inconvenient time too, I'm in the middle of the grocery store and then I'll break down crying. So I have found to have really dedicated times to grieve is really helpful. And you know, I have a grief group and grief counselor, and I have you know, we talk about this too in these groups, of setting aside time to just grieve. And when I do that, I don't feel the need for that busyness as distraction. So it's just something that I have noticed.
Eric?
I wanted to add on, or with what she was just saying. Cassie made a point in our breakout room about needing like downtime. She called them dungeon days, where you just kind of watch TV or binge or whatever else. And one of the things I kind of got from that I've kind of have seen is when we allow ourselves that time to just do, and we don't beat ourselves up with the guilt or the shame, that we actually spend less time not being productive than what we think we do. because we're not spending half of it making ourselves feel bad. And I think what she was saying just now, it kind of correlates with that and dovetails with that really well, in that when we are in the moment and allow ourselves to do what we need to do in that moment, whether it's grieving or resting or whatever, we wind up being much more productive as well as much happier, because we're not trying to be doing something that we aren't already doing.
Thank you. Yeah, I think what I think is so, the word that's coming to mind is pure. I don't know if that's quite the right word, but so pure about Zen practice is because it's not about a bunch of expectations or ideals that you're trying to fit. I mean, it's easy to start doing that anyway. Like, I shouldn't be worried. If I'm worried, if I'm fretting over this, if I have insomnia and I'm thinking about this thing, I'm not practicing properly, or I don't know, or I shouldn't be busy, or what have you. It's really like, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want, but make sure it's what you want, right? This is like really facing what's going on in our lives. What's going on? What do you really want? If you really want to do that, that's fine, but I suspect most of us, we don't want to be a hamster on a wheel, right? Whether we're worrying or we're keeping busy, right? We want to be more aware and present and make more, I don't know, one other way that I've described practice is living deliberately as opposed to just habit energy, right? We're just doing our thing and adding our activities or worrying about things or whatever and not stopping to go, I don't know, is that really how I want to spend this precious life? So it's whatever you want. I prefer to let, I'm going to keep my life full enough, like Tyler, that I'm always going to be teetering on that edge of like, ooh, no, too much. But that's where I have the energy to do that right now, right? But at some other point in my life, like some of you who are retired, might change. See how I deal with that, right? All right, well, thank you all. Dedicate the merit of this Sangha meeting to all so that they may be able to obtain the truth. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, Maha Prajna Paramita. Thank you all for coming. See you next week.
It is so easy to be busy in retirement.